From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, a slim chance of showers later this afternoon with the highs in the lower 70s. By tonight, cloudy, cooling into the low to mid 40s, and cloudy in the morning tomorrow with the highs into the lower to mid 60s. Tomorrow night also partly cloudy, and then maybe a slim chance of rain with the overnight low near 50. Rain also on Wednesday with the highs near 55. And by Wednesday night, cloudy with a chance of showers, overnight low of 45. It's currently 61. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon as we begin another week of programs here on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf, we're checking in with our lawmakers regularly during these tense times of COVID-19. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. You know, I really appreciate you inviting me on your show today. You know, I think that this week we may be actually near the peak of our virus situation in our area. There is some evidence that the social distancing and the stay-at-home orders have really worked to reduce the number of exposures. And I know that in Douglas County, we still have a few new cases each week, but overall the impact has been less than way originally forecast. And I saw just a few minutes ago that we have one new case today. That's 23 total. 10 have recovered, and there's been no deaths. On the personal and business front, we're really beginning to see some movement in the various emergency support programs. People began receiving their stimulus funds last week, and businesses are beginning to see their loan proceeds from the CARES program, and the unemployment system is starting to deal with a huge crush of applications. So I think in general, I feel we're making some progress, but it remains too slow, and we really need to get this economy working again. And really, the main part of this is when we get back in session, we need to fix all these challenges and problems that we are having so that if this happens again, we'll be able to handle it more effectively.
So what is going on right now in terms of, I know last week, the past few weeks, really, all of you from the delegation representing parts or all of Douglas County have talked about these marathon conference calls or one conference call after another with various state officials, sometimes the governor, sometimes members of Congress. Are those continuing at the same pace?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, crazy. I was just on a conference call here, just got off of it just a few minutes ago, and it was with the Bankers Association that's going on. So it's not just, you know, about one segment. It's about all of them. We daily have daily conference calls. I've finally learned Zoom. Zoom is a pretty incredible little program that you get to see other people doing, listening to a lot of different comments from other local citizens outside of Douglas County, but local in Oregon. So it's been incredible.
And what are some of the focuses of these different meetings? Is it just sort of to provide information, or are folks asking for input?
Oh, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's about our school system. It's about our the banking system. It's about the CARES Act or the PPE program or the PPP program or the, you know, what the governor's asking for input. I mean, it's multiple. I kid you not, if I'm on four conference calls a day, it's almost 8 hours. I mean, you're on the call for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Wow. So one of the things, obviously, for adults has been the change with the schools and education. That's having kind of a ripple effect now with the in the school closures for the balance of the year and distance learning going on and parents and others being asked to jump in there, which has complicated things immensely for a lot of families.
You know, Kyle, I have to tell you, I'm probably more worried about our educational system in Oregon than anything else at this time. But I got to tell you, I'm simply amazed by the work that our teachers have done to create these online alternatives for our students with really no time. I mean, and I want to be really frank on this topic. The ability to move our students from a classroom to some form of an online or virtual learning was only possible because of the incredible tenacity and creativity of our teachers. They were given an unreal task on an unreal timeline, and they found a way to keep education moving. But let's not kid ourselves. This isn't a long-term solution for quality education. There are so many lessons that we must take from this pandemic, but two of the most important are our teachers and our education funding. We must develop more respect and better pay for our teachers who are so critical and valuable. We must develop new funding models for the educational infrastructure, like technology and buildings and structures. This pandemic has demonstrated that our educational system must really be rebuilt with modern tools and technology. And we need to fund this at a state level. We cannot continue to try and overtax and overburden our local property owners who say no more times than they say yes.
And with the education situation, as you look ahead in this, what are you hearing in some of your conference calls regarding education?
This cat tax, the corporate activity tax, I'm really troubled by people that are stating that this cat tax needs to be retained so we can fund education. Education funding needs to be made with or without a corporate activity tax. And we've discussed this in the past. Oregon revenues were at historical highs. And the cat tax is going to be a drag on earnings, which all businesses are going to need. I'd really like the governor to stand down on the cat tax for the next 18 months while we really deal with the realities of this economic crisis caused by the government. Remember, this cat tax is on the gross of a business. So most businesses this year are going to have losses, and yet they're going to have to pay for this tax. Think about that for a second. You lose money, but you've got to pay a tax. That's a drain on our educational system.
On Inside Douglas County, State Representative Gary Leaf with us. I'm curious, because I haven't heard it in a while, about the idea of a special session. Is that coming back into the picture at all?
You know, we haven't heard any more about a special session, but I'm really growing kind of concerned that the governor's moving really beyond the scope of her emergency powers. We have fundamental issues that need legislative input, oversight, and probably even some new legislation. But I'm concerned about three different areas. I'm troubled that the governor has made some sort of pact with California and Washington regarding our future restart. Really? I'm not even sure that's even within the governor's emergency authority. And we're basically saying to Oregonians, they cannot independently recover from this situation. We've got to do this in lockstep with Washington and California. I'm not sure actually all of us agree with that, especially I don't. And then number two, we have a growing concern on religious freedoms right now. The Attorney General has recently drafted an opinion that government cannot shut down churches and religious gatherings. So there's a fine line between protecting the population and eliminating our constitutional rights. I believe that the full legislature should be convened to really make a determination on religious freedoms. And then three, the unemployment insurance system in Oregon, it's broken. It's been broken before. In 2009, when we had the last surge of unemployment, I believe we need a special session to determine why our system is so antiquated, why we keep putting Band-Aids on it, and why the employment department has so many problems. And we need to fix this system, and we need to do this in a timely manner.
One of the things I'm hearing is that a lot of these computer systems within certain agencies, not all of them, but certain agencies in state government are really fairly antiquated and have not been updated. Of course, there was a whole situation a few years ago with the Obamacare insurance and the attempts to make some changes there in terms of how the state had a website rolling out and a bunch of money that was spent that didn't seem to achieve a whole lot. Do you feel like government has just sort of not kept up with technology?
Well, here's what I see. So I'm on two very, very good Ways and Means committees. And so we get to see a lot of these agencies come before us. And I've been there, this is my third year now. I've not heard one time that we need to fix an antiquated system from the Employment Department. I've heard about it from a lot of different agencies. But I can't believe that we haven't known about this, especially in 2009 when they had the same problem. Remember, we had that crash in 2008 and unemployment was going crazy. Well, they should have fixed it at that time. We've had a decade and we're still putting Band-Aids on that. How crazy is that?
And do you are you hearing a lot of lawmakers echoing your sentiments?
Oh, yeah. It's you talk about some of these conversations that we're having, you know, on Zoom and calls with different constituents and different legislators. They're all saying the same thing. We didn't know this. What's going on?
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf back in 1 minute. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio, 1240 KQEN, and later KQEN Local Talk at 4. I'll be filling in for Lisa Platt with Talking Health, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer for an in-depth look at the COVID-19 situation. On today's program, also a staff member from the Douglas Public Health Network will be on with us as well. State Representative Gary Leaf on here. I want to go back to what we were talking about just before the break about the computer systems in the state agencies. The Employment Department has been talked about at other points along the way. It's been the Department of Motor Vehicles and some things that just do not appear along the way like they've been kept up with. And I'm very curious that is different funds are allocated for different things. If you're hearing any idea about why this hasn't come up before as something that needed to be ready, especially for an emergency situation, whatever that emergency might be.
You know, it's a really complicated but great question. Part of the problem is you have people that are all sitting in an office, you know, and they're the ones taking the calls. And now all of a sudden you have the social distancing. So they're, you know, they're basically being told to, you know, stay the distance. And then a few of them are like really concerned, well, I'm not going to come to work because I don't want to get this virus. And so not only is there not a lot of people there to take the calls, but the system online, you know, is incredibly overworked. It can't handle that. And we should have had a system in place where, you know, you basically put in your request, you get a response back, says, fine, you know, we'll get back to you within 24 hours. And it's the number one call I got from people. I literally got calls from people who said, I called over 100 times and can't get through. And we luckily, as legislators, had some special phone numbers that we were able to give. So if someone was really having a problem, we could say, all right, call this number right here. And I had it for Coos, Curry, Douglas, and Josephine, and Jackson County. So we could at least get those people into the system. But they're frustrated.
And obviously frustration is kind of the matter of the day. You know, as we look ahead, there seems to be some hopefulness in the air just in the past day or so about where the situation is. When you talk about the economic recovery and look forward to that, what are some of the things that need to be worked on by the legislators, by the governor, by state agencies to help make that happen?
You know, we talked about this in my last appearance on your show, and I really want the governor to begin holding meetings and providing a little more information regarding the process that we'll use to restart our economy. We can't keep 30% of the workforce idle and our small businesses in jeopardy. We're already seeing an increase in crime and fraud. You've probably been seeing it on Facebook, too, in our neighborhood. I've been concerned for several weeks that it's easy to shut the economy down due to a fear of a pandemic, but it's really hard to get it restarted. And we need to have a statewide conversation about restarting. Life in rural Oregon is completely different than life in urban Oregon, like Portland or Salem. You know, I realize that this pandemic is real, but if we keep our small businesses shut down for more than another month, we're going to lose many of those businesses. And we're at serious risk of trading a medical pandemic for an economic pandemic. I just got a text a few minutes ago from Tim, one of my good friends, and we go over to the dunes all the time. And he says, when are we going to open up the dunes? You know, what's going on? And you know, it's kind of crazy because I can't think of a better social distancing than riding a four-wheeler, you know, 20 yards away from someone else, going up hills and having a good time and camping with your family, not next to someone else. The same with fishing, the same with hunting. You know, we've completely shut these things down, but yet I can go to Home Depot and stand 6 feet next to another person, and that's okay. Or I can go to the liquor store, and, you know, that's okay. We really need to have a conversation with the governor about restarting our economy.
One of the emails of the many dozen that I've gotten this morning, and I don't remember which side of which chamber it was, House or Senate, but one of the, actually it was the Senate now that I think about it, a couple of the leaders talking about the idea that statewide changes, statewide timelines not be done on a statewide level, but by looking at the data from counties that have been less impacted, and a call from the GOP leadership in the Senate to ask the governor to look at opening up rural Oregon sooner than the rest of the state.
Yeah, you know, if you look in Douglas County and you divide it, I was just dividing it out here a few minutes ago. I mean, it's less than 1% of 1%. I mean, it's so small, and yet we're completely shut down. And then, just like I talked about a few minutes ago, and the governor's working with Washington and California to come up with a plan. What does Washington and California have to do with Douglas County?
Well, and are you hearing about what that means? That seems to be up for discussion as to what that actually means, even.
What do you mean?
In terms of working with the two states, some people have said.
Oh yeah, 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 absolutely. I mean, you know, you heard the old adage: when you've seen one state, you've seen one state. There's 49 different ones, and so. I don't know if it's a political ploy. I'm not really quite sure about that. We need to be talking about Southern Oregon, Southern rural Oregon. It's different than Portland. It's different than Salem. It's different than Seattle. Let's talk about the ability for our county commissioners to open up this part of Oregon and do it in waves. You know, the president's sent out, you know, the orders on how we can do this. Let's start looking at opening up our restaurants and keeping social distancing. You know, let's let some of the workers go back to work that can do the social distancing, like hairdressers and barbers. And, you know, thank goodness I've gone bald here, because I'd be a hippie right now.
There's so many things that people are looking at right now. One of the interviews I've done recently, actually a couple of them, have even talked about the psychological impact of all this and how that's, you know, straining relationships and all kinds of things like that.
You know, I was on a great call with my staff and Melanie from the Battered Person Advocacy. Now they've changed her name. You know, she was really talking about, you know, how, you know, they're getting a lot more calls now, you know, they because they're stuck at home. And a lot of, you know, the women are really scared, you know, because their, you know, their husbands, boyfriends, spouses, whatever, are, you know, they're climbing the walls right now. And so they're getting angry and there's abuse going on right now. And you see, you know, we have more suicides going on right now. There's a lot of stuff that comes off of this pandemic. It's not just about one thing. It's a latitude of a whole bunch of different things.
About a minute left. Final thoughts.
You know, I want to close our conversation with a special thanks to all of the workers who've never really been given credit for their value. As a country, we've become overwhelmingly obsessed with computers and programming and engineering and other jobs that require high levels of education. But I hope everyone now realizes the importance of everyone, the garbage collectors, the mechanics, the electrical workers, the plumbers, the farmers, the ranchers, you know, even more. All are so vital to our society. Those of us living, working, and raising our families in rural America know the value of our land. We know the value of our people, and we know the value of our work ethic and our heritage. So we need to, you know, do more for those people and thank them. And I want to tell everybody, follow my Facebook page, Gary Leaf, State Representative. And thank you, Kyle, for having me on today.
All right, State Representative Gary Leaf, 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.